As Australia prepares for a referendum on the Voice to Parliament later this year, the principles of fairness, legitimacy and transparency stand at the forefront of this democratic undertaking. It is integral that both sides of the argument are equally understood and highlighted by the government and the media. Any form of interference that disrupts this function should be held to very high scrutiny, as it seeks to undermine the democratic process that Australia claims to represent. I don't know exactly how illegal election interference is in Australia, but there sure seems to be a lot of it going on lately. It seems to me like there are a lot of games being played lately by the Yes campaign to skew the vote in their favour. Many prominent corporations have emerged as significant backers of the Yes 23 movement and the Vote Yes campaign. Their support has seen financial contributions which are closing in on almost $20 million this year alone. These are not the only companies that have supported the Yes 23 and the Vote Yes campaign financially, but they are perhaps the most prominent. It's not just corporations that are getting behind this push for the Vote Yes, but many of the largest banks in Australia, as you can see here in this picture, all of which support, finance, promote the Voice to Parliament in one way, shape or form. This is important because the superannuation funds in Australia are a $3.5 trillion industry. Every single Australian with a super fund has an interest and ownership in a large majority of the top ASX-listed companies which the super funds invest in, many of which are now openly supporting the Yes vote and pushing propaganda for their cause.
Two of the first big corporations to back the Uluru Statement from the Heart were BHP and Rio Tinto, the same company forced to apologise for the destruction of the sacred Juukan Gorge in Western Australia's Pilbara region.
These companies should focus on how they can best serve their shareholders, not on how they can use their money to promote Yes 23.
What does that actually look like when a government is so reliant on dodgy corporations and dodgy organisations who always get to have a say over our lives as well?
Beyond financial contributions, these companies have also demonstrated their commitment through the dissemination of persuasive messaging and the apparent stifling of voices advocating for a no vote. Particularly noteworthy instances involve The Guardian and Facebook, where bias and censorship has clearly taken place. These corporations I mentioned previously have also doled out an uncountable value in free advertisement for the Yes campaign, most notably Qantas, the NRL and the AFL.
The spirit of Australia says yes because this will assist reconciliation.
A lot of this money has been used to promote speaking events, advertisement campaigns and online propaganda aimed at the Australian people. Their usage of propaganda, for instance, seems to be very much steered in the direction of appeals to emotion and logical fallacies. For instance, prominent Vote No campaigners are often targeted with vilification, censorship, hit pieces and accusations of racism, because apparently only people who vote no are racially motivated, despite this whole entire referendum being about race privilege. While the appeals to the yes vote, which one can read in the referendum pamphlet, can be found in the form of nonsensical one-liners which are either false, misleading, or clearly aimed at pulling on the heartstrings of psychologically weak-minded people. Slogans like, "This is a vote for unity," when this vote is actually the opposite. It's about dividing political favour to a minority of people based on skin colour. This has increased disunity in Australia, and anyone who thinks race relations have improved in this time are kidding themselves.
A performer who bashed a footy fan with a didgeridoo outside the MCG has been sentenced to less than 10 months jail.
Jesse Gardner was hired to take part in Dreamtime at the G last May, but instead performed outside the ground. After the match, he went after Daniel, bashing him with a didgeridoo in what police called an unprovoked attack.
Other slogans like, "Let's bring our country together," should be seen with the same level of scrutiny. How in the world does this bring people together? It can't, it doesn't, and it won't. The ALP is promoting a race-based system where you are awarded benefits for your Aboriginality and subsequently penalised for your white ancestry. But you are still racist if you vote no. That's what they're trying to get you to believe anyway.
The racism towards Aboriginal people is something more than racism.
The whole of Australia needs to be re-educated.
The psychological manipulation and the ideological subversion that is being used by Yes 23 and the Vote Yes campaign comes from Marxist and humanist doctrine, and are the same weapons that were used by the media to sell us a war on terror in the Middle East, through the use of fear and an appeal to security.
I welcome the death of Osama bin Laden. I welcome this news.
Crucifixions, beheadings, mass executions, sexual slavery.
It's a leader is gone, but Al-Qaeda still poses dangers for Australians.
I think we've demonstrated with our commitment to countering Islamist death cults both here and abroad.
They were also the very same weapons that were used to sell us a vaccine mandate and a nationwide lockdown, which killed small business and saw suicide rates jump to record-breaking all-time highs, all in the name of slogans like, trust the science, and let's do this together. It's also worth pointing out the effectiveness of an invisible enemy, one that can be anywhere, one that you cannot see, like terrorism, COVID-19, institutionalized racism, climate change. There are also a very large amount of power brokers, lobby groups, and philanthropists behind this Voice the Parliament campaign, which I have addressed in previous videos, many of which have the ear of the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. Like, for an example, the Referendum Council. It also might surprise you who is on this board and just how Aboriginal they actually are. We have taxation lawyers to former CEOs of health departments. We also find the national chairman of the Australian Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, an expert member of the United Nations, the former CEO of the AFL, a former group company secretary of BHP Billiton, former chief executive partner of Allens, and the general manager of the AFL. In recent times, there have even been concerns about the validity of the AEC itself. In the last few days, a lot of controversy has been brought up about the fact that you need to write in clear English either yes or no on the ballot paper. Sounds good so far, right? In addition to this, it was announced that a tick could be counted as a yes, but a cross will not be counted as a no. That will be considered a misvote, as instructed by the AEC.
The Australian Electoral Commission has confirmed that ticking the box on the referendum ballot paper rather than writing yes could count as a yes vote, but crosses won't be counted. The revelation by Commissioner Tom Rogers on Sky News prompted an outcry among some voters who say accepting ticks but not crosses could favour the yes campaign.
Please make sure you write on that box yes or no in English. Now, there are some savings provisions, but I need to be very clear with people. When we look at that, it is likely that a tick will be accepted as a formal vote for yes, but a cross will not be accepted as a formal vote.
The Electoral Commission confirmed today that while not all ticks will be accepted, all crosses will be deemed informal. Ultimately, the Commission says it will be up to the Divisional Returning Officer at each ballot place to decide if a tick has made a voter's intentions clear.
I found this news very interesting, because it obviously skews the vote in favour of the Yes campaign, as there are going to be many Aboriginal and immigrant people who don't speak very good English, which may be inclined to use a tick or a cross. It seems like a last-ditch effort of the losing Yes side of this vote to get the voice of Parliament across the line. It's also worth pointing out that historically speaking, there have been referendums where either a tick or a cross was needed to validate your vote. An Australian referendum ballot paper from 1916, as seen in this picture on your screen, demonstrates that traditional voting was clear and simple, and only an X in the box of voters' choice was accepted. This was just suddenly made null and void by the Australian Electoral Commission, which will now only accept ticks or a written response on the voice referendum. I can understand why they would want to get rid of the cross, but why not get rid of the tick as well? It just makes no sense, unless they're up to something dodgy. According to Sky News, the AEC has rejected accusations of giving Yes campaign an unfair advantage in the Voice referendum. Opposition leader Peter Dutton has also demanded that the Commission publicly release the legal advice behind accepting a tick as a vote, but not accepting a cross as a no vote. But so far, nothing else has really come out about this, and it looks like not a lot is going to change. Even the referendum booklet that was sent out in the mail to every Australian features the first page of the reasons to vote yes, before the page on the reasons to vote no. All of these small analytical differences are going to make a margin of difference when the final tally is counted. In addition to the super funds, unions, banks, corporations, power brokers, lobby groups, charities, and individuals financing the Yes campaign, we have seen celebrities and sporting stars who are being used by Yes23 and the Vote Yes campaign. On page 14 of the official government referendum booklet that is mailed out to every Australian resident, we see a quote by NRL superstar Jonathan Thurston, promoting the Voice to Parliament. There are even examples of public servants and corporate employees who are being forced to support the Yes campaign, regardless of whether they want to or not, at the risk of getting fired and having their card marked as some sort of racist. As we have seen, there is so much power, money and corruption behind Yes23 and the Vote Yes campaign that it's quite concerning to say the least. I'm also concerned about the extent to which the AEC itself is pushing the vote in favour of Yes. It makes me incredibly concerned about the validity of the vote count, its vulnerabilities, and any in-house biases that may exist, and what sort of security there is to protect the process. What sort of people are accountable? Who's in charge? Who's allowed to monitor the counting process, and what sort of contingency plans do they have to ensure that there is no tampering? While the polls are looking favourably for the no vote, it looks like the fight isn't over yet, with many in the Yes campaign resorting to dirty and questionable tactics. I hope this video has helped shed some light on the current situation. Be sure to give this video a like and share it around on social media. Every little bit helps. Also, be sure to check out my links in the description below. Until next time, guys, thanks for watching.